think the sign that you're back into normality is when you have a cold and it's not COVID.
Right.
And I'm fighting it.
Yeah. Well, and I just had it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but whatever.
But of course, your first thought is COVID. Yeah. Like, we all forgot just how to just have a cold.
Well, when that's the symptoms of people that are in our demographic, of course I'm going to be concerned that it's COVID.
Right.
Especially because we're vaccinated. They would say if you get COVID, a breakthrough case, it's going to be mild.
Right. I know.
I don't know.
We're good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's tested.
And got the Zicam.
Yep.
Got that and zinc.
Our daughter has her antibiotics for her ear infection.
Yeah. Why don't they make the bubblegum pink stuff for adults?
I don't know. We get it in pill form.
Yeah. That's so lame.
I know.
When I was young and I was about 17, because I was still going to a pediatrician at 17.
Right. As you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had strep throat, and I said, can I get the bubblegum stuff? And they said, it's probably not going to work.
So it must just be a lower concentration.
Yeah, and I said, I want to try, like, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, chances are you do.
I think everybody does, yeah.
Okay, welcome to While She's Napping. I am Adam.
And I'm Cindy.
It makes me wonder, you know, given the fact that last week we were talking about all these events that are happening, all the lead up to baby number two, and I'm throwing you a curveball.
Okay.
And I'm not, this is not a complaint. It's just being practical and a little bit pragmatic. How long do we have consecutively to continue this going? I'm not saying we will never come back to it here and there. I'm just saying.
Oh, the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we know we're going to take some time off in the fall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and now they do.
No, we had said that we'll probably take a little bit of a hiatus. I think we've been trying to, our plan was to try to record some extra episodes over the summer.
Yeah, no.
But we've been so busy now with, you know, post-pandemic life happening.
Yeah.
And now with you and her being sick, and it's just
been
a lot.
I'm fighting it. I know. Okay.
But, I mean, we still have like 2.5, maybe 3 months left.
Yeah, yeah,
and we're going to try to,
We'll make a season two.
Yeah. Season one will have been like a year and a half long.
Yes. Yes.
And then if we have to take some time off in the fall and around the holidays, we will. And we'll be back.
Yeah, you can bet your ass that if I had the man cold, this would not be happening right now. You know, it's like there's the man cold and then there's unmedicated childbirth.
That's, oh my God.
I think that's how they tier it.
And it's funny because our 3-year-old has the same cold that you have, although she also has an ear infection on top of it.
Yeah, I don't have the man cold right now.
I know. I'm saying it's funny. You're right. You're being more of a champ about it than you usually are.
It's not the man cold.
Because she is like in denial that she's even sick. She
doesn't have the man cold.
Oh my God. I know. Because never mind. The man cold isn't like a special strain of the cold. It's just you being a big baby.
It is.
Okay.
It attacks the testicles.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I mean, your testicles aren't in pain, but it starts there and it spreads and you're out. The man cold is the worst.
This is a very interesting scientific
evaluation. It is the worst ever. There is no comparison because if you're able to get up, you don't have the man cold. That's why women don't understand the man cold. That's why they're like, oh, you just have a cold. No. You guys just have a cold. We have a specific strain of, you know how COVID has the new variant? There's a variant of the cold. And it's the man cold, and it's only targeting men.
Mm-hmm.
It targets or it makes worse those with male DNA.
Sure.
And it just it wipes you out.
Nothing to do with you just being a big fat baby.
No. Nothing.
Okay.
Because if it was just me, I would say you're onto something. But other men are the same way. This isn't something that's just unique to me.
Okay.
People get the man cold.
Okay.
And you need a specific type of drink.
Oh my God.
A specific type of Dorito, you know, you crave. Guys know what I'm talking about.
You've been craving Doritos?
No, yesterday I was just craving bad stuff. That's how I knew I was going to get sick.
You finished her bag of animal crackers.
Yeah. And I dug into the all-dressed chips from Canada.
Shout out to your buddies in Toronto.
Yeah. And, you know, whatever. But yeah, I was, I knew I was getting there. So then I turned to the sink. And
Okay. Here we go. All right.
Okay. So I'm glad we were able to do this two consecutive weeks. It was sort of a last minute decision, but
we're here. Do you want to quickly talk about why we're able to record a little bit earlier than usual?
No, but you do.
I know. I'm shocked that you didn't feel the need to give me proper credit at the beginning of the episode.
Well, I'm not a mom.
Yeah, but you're a parent who's very much benefiting from this new phase of our lives that we're in, apparently. So we've talked a lot about how we have been having trouble with her naps, specifically in the last year of her fighting them, and we felt like she was ready to drop them. And with how difficult...
Hold on, not to interrupt. She still might.
She might, yes. She's three now, so any time between now and her fourth birthday, I feel like, is normal time to drop a nap. But we also, it's hard for us to record at night because it takes forever and a fucking day to put her to bed.
Right.
Because she doesn't, we've never gotten her to be able to fall asleep on her own. We have to stay in the room with her. And recently we've been getting the nursery ready. So we moved the gliding, like, rocking chair out of her room and into the nursery. So it's been us sitting on the floor of her room for at least an hour after we read stories and do songs or whatever. And now with me being like 7 months pregnant, that has not been fun, sitting on her hardwood floor. So I was like, this has got to end. Like, this is, I can't sit here till 9:30, 10 o'clock every fucking night. So we have a new system that we started this weekend where she has passes, where she can, she has three chances. They're like little tickets that we made. She's got a set of mommy ones and a set of daddy ones, depending on who's putting her to bed. And she has, she can come out and get us with a pass if she needs something. And then when the third pass is gone, she can't get out of bed anymore. And if she does, which she has a couple of times, she got up after she used all three, we just say, you don't have a pass, so mommy or daddy can't come into your room. Like, just go back to bed. And she did. And she put herself to sleep. And I can't really believe it's real. I don't want to jinx it as I'm staring at the monitor, hoping she doesn't get up right now. But yeah, it feels like a huge, huge win if we can keep this up.
Well, where'd you get that from? You didn't make this up.
I feel like I saw something similar about the passes. So on, I can't remember. It was one of the parenting counts that I follow, I'm sure. But I can't remember which one it was. What?
Nothing. It's just following a parenting account. It's just
funny.
Well,
it results in shit like this. So.
I'm not criticizing you that much. It's just funny.
How you criticize?
I'm what? Not. Sorry. I shouldn't say criticizing. It's just, it's so mom. Of well, you.
Because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
No, I'm just saying moms typically follow accounts that give this type of advice.
Uh-huh.
And I feel dads follow humor dad accounts.
Yeah.
That don't.
Well, one of us has to steer
that just
the
reinforces
ship.
Their mistakes.
Sure. Yeah. One of us has to try to get some guidance and some help when we have these types of situations.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful. I wish I knew which account I saw that on because it was a really great idea. I think I modified it slightly, but yeah.
Props.
This is a new chapter for us. And I plan to fully enjoy it for the next, you know, 2 or 3 months until we're in the no sleep
all right.
version all over again.
Let's not digress any further. We appreciate everybody that has listened to us and that has stuck with us. Let's just jump right in. We're going to talk about anxieties today. We're going to talk about the things that people have shared with us in terms of their feelings of anxiety, what makes them feel anxious, and we'll talk about, I guess, ours to start the show. I imagine for you, I mean, you've made no secrets about it, that you're a proponent and a participant in therapy, so I imagine that this is something that's a little bit more in your wheelhouse than me in terms of how to address anxieties. Not that I don't have anxieties, of course I do, but you're more on the spectrum of knowing how to, or having some sort of exercise, I would imagine, mm-hmm. as to how to mitigate them.
Yeah. Is that where you want to start?
Or well,
you want
to start with what if you want to talk about yours and how you've been able to...
Well, do you want to talk about sources of anxiety and the things that trigger our anxiety
sure.
first, and then we can talk about how we manage and cope with it?
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, I guess
Hold on.
Yeah, I have my seltzer too. These new Ahas are really good. Lime watermelon.
Is that a Target exclusive?
I don't think so.
Oh.
All right. So yeah, I have a history with anxiety that I didn't really name or understand until pretty recently, like within the last few years, I think. It was actually everybody experiences anxiety, right? Just like as a general emotion or feeling.
Yeah.
And I think some people experience it more intensely than others or have more trouble coping or managing it. And also, huge caveat for any new listeners, we are not mental health experts or any sort of medical or psychological anything. We have no credentials whatsoever. We're just talking about our experience. I just wanted to put that out there. So I think for me, realizing some of the behaviors and feelings that I've had throughout my life were actually attached to this thing called anxiety, and that it's this spectrum, and that it's, you know, it's like a diagnosable thing was a huge revelation. I think I didn't realize that I had been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder until
you weren't diagnosed with it.
I was.
You were diagnosed after the fact, right?
No. So the first time I went to therapy was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I didn't, that's the time when I was diagnosed.
Oh.
Okay. But I just didn't realize it, or I wasn't told in those terms, or I just didn't understand it, or whatever the case might be. I worked with my therapist and we talked about it, and she gave me, you know, advice on dealing with it and whatever. And I was with that therapist for a couple of years, and then I moved on. And I didn't go back to therapy until recently, like the last few years. But I didn't actually see that diagnosis in my medical records until I was transferring doctors when I was pregnant with our first daughter. And I had to request everything to change my provider. And I was just going through my medical history looking for something, or just out of curiosity. And I saw that diagnosis there. And I was like, oh, I didn't even, like, we had talked. I guess it didn't click with me that it was like a diagnosable thing that had a name. And at that point, it has helped me, because it helps me just to name it and acknowledge it and understand that it's something about myself. And it makes me feel like I can do something about it. And go ahead.
I don't understand how that is unique to individuals. It feels like that is something everyone has. So if everybody went to therapy, chances are everybody would be diagnosed with some sort of anxiety issue.
Maybe. I think so. I've also heard the term situational anxiety, which I think is the more normal type of anxiety. Like if someone's going through, like, for example, after my miscarriage, I started going back to therapy again to deal with the anxiety of being pregnant after a loss. And they described that as situational anxiety.
Right, because that's...
it was a specific type of anxiety linked to a specific trauma that was triggered by my experience now being pregnant again. So, like, I think everybody experiences anxiety in response to certain situations. I think generalized anxiety, to my understanding, is someone who Like you feel more anxious about anything and everything, like normal things, not a triggering traumatic event or situation. But it, like anything can trigger your anxiety. That's why it's generalized.
I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, so I can't, or a therapist, so I can't really comment on that. It just seems to me, in my limited understanding and obviously my, you know, complete lack of expertise in this, that you're describing the way, look, everybody has some sort of anxiety, mm-hmm. right? So I guess is, how is this different? It's all right. Let me put it this way. Everybody has a sense of anxiety, but not everybody has the same anxieties about things, right? So like everybody, uh-huh. There are some people that might feel anxious in large groups and other people that won't. But those that won't might feel anxious in other similar situations, like, I don't know, losing something or being in traffic or something.
Being late, yeah. Or, yeah.
So the thing that's permeating throughout all of that is a sense of anxiety. So I guess the being diagnosed with anxiety to me isn't necessarily that unique. I think what is unique is how to remedy that anxiety.
Right. I agree. It's extremely common. And I think people do feel anxiety.
I don't know like anybody normal, that doesn't.
Correct. But my interpretation, again, and I'm not an expert either. I might be getting this whole situational generalized thing. Like, that might not even be correct what I was saying, sure. But that's my understanding. But I think it becomes something like that, like a diagnosable generalized anxiety disorder, when your anxiety is at a level that it affects your day-to-day life, or it manifests in behaviors that are unhealthy, like OCD or something like that.
So there are types of anxieties that are diagnosed as quote-unquote normal anxieties that you just sort of have to, I don't want to say live with, but there's no remedy for, just like small shit.
Well, sure. Like if you're sitting in traffic and you're on your way to a job interview and you think you're going to be late and you're like, fuck, fuck, fuck. Like the whole time you're in traffic, like there are things you can do to so you don't like spiral into a full-blown panic attack.
But that's nothing you would see a therapist for, because that is, those types of situations don't happen often.
But if you're in a situation like that where you're just really nervous, or you're like there's something important happening and you just want everything to be perfect, or you're nervous about the outcome, right? I think everybody gets in that sort of situation at some point. But I do think if every time you're in that situation and you devolve, like it results in you having a complete panic attack where you like can't breathe.
Yeah, then yes,
that's something that you should learn to address and come up with techniques to cope.
That's almost dangerous.
But, right. So I'm saying someone like that probably would be diagnosed with some sort of an anxiety disorder.
Extreme, yes.
Because they
yes.
have panic attacks.
Yes.
But if you just feel anxious while you're driving and you're like, oh man, I hope I make it, I hope I'm on time, and you're feeling really nervous and feeling anxiety about being late, but it's not affecting your health, you're not manifesting in unhealthy behaviors, I don't think that's problematic. That's normal.
Right.
Yeah. But I think... And that's what I spend a lot of time with my therapist talking about is, okay, what is the anxiety you're feeling? What's triggering it? And is it affecting your behavior in such a way that it's negatively impacting your life? Like, or are you coping with it in a healthy way? And if not, what's a better way that we can cope with it?
I also want to try to address the difference between an anxiety and a fear, right? So... I have an irrational fear of bees.
Right.
Irrational. But not, you know, I say that and I'm going to defend it a little bit, because they can hurt you, right? Especially where we live, we have things like, what are those? The
hornets and wasps.
Yeah, but was it bald-headed hornets? Are those
bald-faced.
Bald-faced hornets. And what are the big ones? The northeastern wasps, the ones that are giant around, and we had one in our shed.
European hornet.
The European, that's what it is. Yeah. Huge. And I don't think it's necessarily irrational, because those things can fuck you up. I'm not allergic, but
we've lived here for how many years and they've been living in our shed or using our shed in some capacity every summer.
To build their nest, yeah.
And how many times have any of us gotten stung? None,
but I'm saying the potential is there, right? In Rhode Island, there are no poisonous spiders that are native to Rhode Island, right? But people are scared of spiders. Yeah.
Venomous.
Sure, whatever. And I'm saying that's kind of irrational because they can't hurt you. Yeah. Like, maybe there's a black widow here and there.
Sure.
In Rhode Island, but they're not native to Rhode Island. And, oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But they can't.
You're thinking of brown recluse.
Yeah, sure. The vast majority of spiders that are in your household can't hurt you.
Right.
But people that are scared of spiders, I'm saying, that's kind of irrational. But okay. If there was a wasp around me, I'd be like, oh, you have a reason to be a little bit afraid of that.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that thing could destroy you.
If you're not allergic, it would sting you and it would hurt and it would suck and then you'd be fine.
No, right. So I think that is a fear. And even though some people will be like, bro, you're kind of being a pussy about it, I would say, I get it. But if it's like, it's just my personal fear. I'm not anxious.
Right. It's not. I think that would maybe be categorized as an anxiety
a phobia.
Sure. That's true. Yeah. I don't really know what the, you know, medical distinction would be between the phobia and anxiety. I don't know.
That's what I'm getting to.
Oh, you like, know what it is?
No, I don't know the term, but I guess where I'm going with this is, so I have that irrational fear of bees outside of the house, but I get super fucking anxious when it comes to any bug inside the house. Like, I want to do all the preventative measures. I respect the habitat of bugs outside of my house. I'm saying, I'm not here. I don't purposely kill bugs. I don't go out there stomping on ant hills or destroying nests or whatever. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone.
I know.
But once you come into my house, it's fucking game over.
I know. You say that, but then we use like chemicals and pesticides and fertilizers and on the lawn, and you don't like leaving leaf piles for bugs. And
you're right.
Right. So you don't respect their habitat outside.
I'm just saying, I'm not going out of my way.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't go outside and say, oh, there's an anthill, going to pour some fucking hot stuff down there.
I know.
You know, I don't step on ants purposely.
No, I know. So I guess the difference, so to me, going back to the bees, is that if your phobia was so intense and it was manifesting in anxiety that, like, to the point where you would have a panic attack every time you had to leave the house or go in the backyard in the summer when bees could be around you, that would be, an issue that you would want to deal with.
But if I see one near me, I freeze.
Yeah, which is the best thing to do. You don't bother them. They're not going to bother you.
It's noticeable. Like, I'll statue. But
or you hide behind me.
Right. But that is, I feel like, the anxiety of me. And this is something we've talked about. Because of that, I'm always like, we need to have the house clean. We need to have the dishes done. I don't want any food. And personally, I don't think you should have that anyway, but it just happens.
Well,
when
leaves crumbs.
Like, we need to clean up after, like, all the time. I know that's a sense of anxiety, but at the same time, my inner voice is justifying it by saying, it's not irrational to not want to have bugs in your house. You know what I'm saying? Like, having an anxiety about being around, and I mean this no disrespect. No disrespect to anybody that feels this. If you have social anxieties and you have, like, a hard, difficult time being around a large group of people, there's a good chance that that large group of people aren't going to harm you. Like, that, it's harmless. But if I said, I just don't like bugs in the house, people aren't going to be like, dude, that's fucking weird. People will be like, I understand. Why would you want bugs in your house?
And I do understand, but I think it's, you also just have to accept that there are going to be bugs that get in your house.
It
doesn't mean it's because the house is dirty if you have, like, a moth flying around.
No. It's sometimes you just leave the screen door open.
Right, and a moth got in when you were.
I get it. It's just, for me, it's, I guess the anxiety issue is we got to keep the fucking house clean.
Right. But that's, and I'm not going to evaluate you. I feel like that's, like, borderline maybe a little bit of OCD.
Maybe.
I think a lot of people deal with that. I mean, I do. So with my anxieties about, and some of this I think is pretty normal, not necessarily problematic, with work and stuff, like I have a fucking spreadsheet for everything. I have lists upon lists upon lists. I'm meticulous with my calendar. I have two calendars. I write it down twice so I don't forget things and I don't forget to like go to a meeting or something. And I think a lot of that is just is because of anxiety, and that's how it, but it's also just good organizational skills.
Right. How is that not just being organized?
So that's why I feel like that's like,
that's harmless to me.
Right. And so that, this is what I mean. These are the types of things that I, through therapy, I start to identify the things that are healthy, like not harmful, they're helpful coping behaviors. Like if you feel anxious that you're going to drop the ball about something and you're going to miss something at work, if you make a list and write it down or have two calendars, okay, like that's a good way to deal with your anxiety because it helps you not be so anxious. It helps you not worry as much. Same thing with, you know, I had, ever since our daughter was born, I had a lot of anxiety about, you know, like locking the doors and making sure the windows, you know what I mean? Like there are times when I, not so much since we got a security system, finally.
But that's why we got the security system.
Right. And that was, I think, a pretty reasonable thing because there was a point where I was waking up or getting out of bed 4 or 5 times a night to make sure the doors were locked, even though I knew that they were.
It's a combination of us living in kind of a, I don't want to say Trump town, but it's pretty Trump heavy here.
Yeah, and these
and
past
we
few
worried.
Years have been, yeah.
Looking back on it, it was kind of silly, but maybe. Mm. But we were worried about there being, if Trump, which he did lose, we were worried about, okay, maybe is shit going to hit the fan? Like, do people know that? Can they access voting records? I don't
know. It's all public.
That's what I'm saying. So I think at that point, given the climate, the political climate, I don't necessarily think that that is irrational. I think looking back on it, you could say, eh, it, you know, 2020 being what it, hindsight being, you know, 2020, we can say, eh, you know, it, maybe we were a little over, you know, anxious about that. But at the same time, I don't think at that time people would have blamed us for having that sort of, I don't know, insight into things.
Yeah. Well, and even before that, so before the really intense political climate of the last few years, I had, I'm not going to get into detail, but I had an experience throughout my whole life where I had a harassment sort of incident, cyber stalking harassment sort of thing for a long time. Like, it started when I was 12 years old and it didn't, I remember we finally went to court because they finally found out who the person was when I was pregnant with our daughter.
And
so 3 years ago.
It wasn't just you.
Oh, yeah. There were. It turns out it was this big thing. There were like 40 other victims who, it was insane, this story. Maybe one day I'll tell it. I don't feel comfortable yet. But that affected me my whole life and because I had this person harassing me, but I didn't know who they were. So I was constantly looking over my shoulder and it's, you know, we've talked before about some of the things that women are taught to do to protect themselves in society. Like, you know, you walk with your keys between your fingers, you check your backseat and like under your car, you don't walk alone at night. All that kind of stuff that every girl is taught in her teens, I think, was like on turned up to 10 for me because I also had this other thing going on where I wasn't sure who this person was or what their intentions were if they ever ran into me in person. So,
but how is that not a fear?
So I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I don't know how to distinguish those two things. But
to me, that's a rational fear.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think to some extent it was very difficult not to be afraid in that situation. But there were times where years went by where no harassment happened. But I still could not lessen the anxiety.
But that's because it happened to you so young.
What? Right. And then, but even now in the last few years, since it's been resolved, since now I do know who the person is and
but that's it. So now the mystique of it is over because
so at least
you know
now I know if
is.
He was walking behind me or if I saw him in the grocery store, I would know who he was.
Again. If
right, if
this
it happened
person
again.
Called you again.
Exactly. And I know that I can go to the police and my report is going to be taken seriously right. When it wasn't for the first 20 years that it happened. I know that I have a course of action and it's, I can get a new restraining order and it can all like be addressed.
That's what I'm saying.
But even so, I still had, like, I was, I think that also contributed to me checking the doors a million times and being, not being able to sleep if the windows weren't locked and all that. And, but yeah, I think there's some, like, the way that my therapist explained it was like, that's basically your self-preservation instinct yeah. kicking in. Like, that's just your survival mode of, you are sensing a threat to your safety and you're responding to it. So I think most of the behaviors and the things that I did to respond to it were reasonable, like yeah. getting a security system, locking our doors at night, being aware of my surroundings. If it had gotten to the point where, which there were sometimes I feel like maybe it did, like not wanting to do certain things, like if I didn't want to leave my house or I didn't want to ever answer the phone because I was afraid it would be this person, which again, it has happened from time to time, but it wasn't like a chronic thing. If I refused to ever use the phone because I thought of, like, that would be
irrational.
Right. And that, so that's kind of where I've gone with this, is balancing healthy, like, that's, I guess we are kind of already getting into like how you cope and manage. For me, it's identifying it and making sure that the way I'm dealing with it is healthy and reasonable and a balanced response to whatever the trigger is.
Yeah. Last one before we take a break. So, you know, when it, usually the things that I'm anxious about, it's usually, and it went hardcore. You witnessed it firsthand last week, but it's usually very minor and just in my head. And last week it was sort of externalized, and it's never happened before. But usually when we have get-togethers, we get together with people, people come over the house or I go over there and, you know, we hang out, there is a good chance that that night or the next morning, I'm thinking to myself, everyone fucking hates me. Like, what did I say? Why did I say that? Why am I like this? Why am I the way I am? And it's just in my head. I'm just saying, why did I say anything stupid? Did I say, chances are yes, but did I say anything that is going to make someone think, I don't want to hang out with that guy anymore? Like, all the time. And last week after our daughter's third birthday party, I woke up in the middle of the night and I could not breathe because I was thinking to myself, I ruined everything. I ruined this party and I didn't do anything wrong. Like, according to you, I mean.
Yeah, I mean.
I could not really get that out of my head. And that bothered me for 12 hours. Mm-hmm. It was just, I needed to sit. I was getting dizzy. It was the worst. And I was thinking, what did I say to these people? Did I give enough attention as a host to these people? Did I feed everyone, you know, appropriately? Did I, did we have adequate amounts of food? Were people pissed off because it rained? It's things like this. It usually happens when we hang out with our peers a lot.
And I've never seen you like that.
It's very micro in my head.
But this time it actually manifested in like a physical panic attack.
Turned up, yes.
Maybe because we hadn't done it in so long.
But I have hung. I've been to bachelor parties.
But we hadn't hosted anything.
And I went to weddings.
But we hadn't hosted anything.
No. I didn't host anything.
In like 2 years.
Right. I could not get over it. And it's just, you know, and talking to my best friend about it, he's like, you didn't do anything. Like, you're fine. And I'm just, I know I'm fine. It's just, I don't feel fine. I don't feel like I didn't do anything wrong. And that's what made it irrational. That is the first sort of anxiety attack that I have had ever.
Yeah. I don't really get like attacks. I feel like mine is very like kind of like a low hum and go sort of like chronic, and it can be triggered by certain things. And sometimes my asthma is worse. Like my asthma is induced by anxiety sometimes. But that's like, your situation is totally different. Like, you're usually totally fine. Like, well, aside from your sort of like OCD cleaning
type anxiety. That's just you and I at the house.
Like, yeah, I guess. But like, it's like you barely feel anxiety on a regular basis. Like I said, I feel like mine's just always kind of like right there bubbling at the surface. But like you don't ever really feel it until it like all comes at you all at once.
Yeah.
Like it's like it builds and builds and builds.
Like I have self-identified with imposter syndrome, but a weird tweak to it. Like people that have imposter syndrome, actually my best friend told me I had it. And he's, you know, because I say I don't feel like I deserve anything that happens because mm-hmm. I feel people are going to find out I'm a fraud.
Like you're faking it?
Yeah, but that's not what I feel. I feel people know I am and they're fucking with me. I have a belief. It's happened after I talked to people on the other podcast when I was done. When I graduated college, when I was going through college, it was, this guy is not good at this, but just throw him a bone. I have that sense that it's people around me have this understanding that I am not, I am off, and we need to treat him with kid gloves. I get that sense all the time.
I don't get that all the time, but I have felt that. Like, before?
All the time.
Like, people I wonder.
Assume or just yeah. know. Not assume. No. It's a fact that I am stupid.
Well, that's not and true.
But how do I know that?
Do you feel that way about me? Because I feel like
I
that.
I know you're not
especially
stupid.
Especially like with work things sometimes. Like if I get chosen for, you know, whatever, a special project or whatever, I get some award. I'm like, do I really? Are they just like giving me a pat on the back, like to make me feel good?
That's
and they,
how I feel
like,
about everything.
Or did I really earn this and deserve this? And am I capable? And that's why I got this
so
thing.
So imposter syndrome is when, so I won the Philosophy Graduate of the Year award
right.
in college. And if I had true imposter syndrome, it's, I don't think I deserve this. They do. And so I'm an imposter in this. I don't deserve this. I'm not good enough for this, mm-hmm. but they think it. I must be a really fucking good liar. That's not how I feel. I feel that they were like, let's just give it to him. Just give him that because he's really stupid and it will, let's just do it. Make him feel good. That's how I feel.
Well, that's not true.
About everything.
Yeah, well, that's not reality.
I don't know. Every time I got off one-on-ones on the other podcasts during Raptors, I always felt that my guests were like, that guy's a fucking idiot. Always.
Like, you weren't confident in what you were saying?
No. Well, yes, I believed, but I feel like while I'm saying it, I always feel that if there's a glass ceiling to truth, I'm always just pushing on the glass ceiling and truth is above it. Yeah. And everybody knows the
truth above
it.
And you're like, oh shit, they're going to find out I don't know what I'm talking about?
Yes, all the time. Okay, or they think, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm a guest on a show.
Let's be nice.
I have to be nice to him.
I feel like that at work a lot.
Yeah.
Like, even though I'm a pretty, like, it's only recently have I gotten comfortable describing myself as an expert in certain things. Like, to admit, okay, yes, I'm pretty, you know, well-versed in this topic. You were an expert on the Raptors when you were doing that podcast.
Maybe.
You did extensive research. You watched every game. You knew your shit.
Maybe.
That wasn't a game by other people.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
All right. We went long. Let's take a break here. We have responses from people that participated in our Instagram polls regarding their anxieties, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We don't have to, we're definitely not list names here. But,
oh, God, no.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Okay, so our polls were pretty simple. This isn't going to take a lot of time to report the results, but we can talk about
But I'm going to talk shit about every... No, I'm kidding.
But basically, we were just... we just asked in general how many people have dealt with or are currently dealing with anxiety. We weren't very specific. We left it extremely open-ended. And as I suspected, the vast majority of people who responded said yes, that they have or are currently dealing with anxiety. It was 82% of people who responded said yes.
Which makes me wonder, is it self-diagnosed or what? It's none of my
right.
business.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. We didn't specify. We didn't say, like, have you been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder do you just experience anxious moments? Or so I think that question is open to interpretation. But yeah, I mean, so the vast majority said yes. And then for those who said yes, we asked, you know, what do you do to cope with your anxiety or to manage it? And no surprise, we got the two most popular answers that almost everybody said.
Smoking weed?
No.
Oh.
That was not said.
That was not said? I feel that is the most popular one, I would assume.
No one who right, responded mentioned it. Not that that's not a valid one. Is definitely, therapy okay. and medication.
So yeah, smoking yeah. weed.
Well, okay, you're right. Yes. If you're using it medically to deal with your anxiety, yes, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yep. But I think when I think of medical marijuana, I think of it for a vast variety of things. Yes, it can be used to treat and manage many things other than anxiety, but that's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Which I can't relate to because that makes me more anxious.
That's what I was going to say. You know, I cannot relate. And look, no judgment. I used to participate in that often. Often. Child listening to this years into the future, often.
Well, we talked about it on the Mother's Day episode last year.
Often. And I'm just at the point, I don't know if it's because I stopped. And anytime, you know, recently, if I participate, it's a million thoughts a minute.
Yeah.
I cannot just sit down and relax. And what I used to do when I was in high school or, you know, my first couple of years in college, just listen to music. Mm-hmm. And it would, you know, sort of enhance that. Now it's, oh my God, they don't like me. Oh my God, I'm an idiot. It's just constant.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's just... When we were younger, it was different because you were more carefree and you could just sit there and zone out and listen to music or go for a drive or whatever. And I think you could, like, for me, I could allow myself to relax and just chill out, but, or you would be in a social situation. Yeah. Or like a live concert or something. Or, and now it's like, no, like, I should be doing something. What am I doing? Like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, I can't just sit here and zone out and listen to an album, like, front to back for 2 hours. Like,
I mean, that does sound heavenly.
Yeah, I know. But that's not something I feel like I could let myself do.
I understand. Yeah.
And remember the time we went to the movies and I was, like, panicking because I was like, everybody knows, everybody knows.
Yeah,
like, I couldn't order my own candy.
That's not atypical.
Yeah. Because
I feel like when people... Especially because you hadn't smoked weed.
No, we talked about how you corrupted me when we started dating.
Yeah, so you had just like started. And people that just start to smoke weed and go into public places, there's always going to be that sense of everybody knows I'm high.
Yeah.
You know?
I was always super anxious because I was just brought up to be such a goody two shoes and like how awful it was to do that. And I felt like I was being caught. You know?
Yeah, and now it's more, look, no disrespect to the parents that do it. You obviously have, you know, your shit straightened out. I cannot do it. Mm-hmm. I cannot be high around my kid. It's just because I'm so anxious. Not that I think there's anything wrong.
It's not relaxing.
That. Yeah, it's just I'm not the type of person that's able to do that. Right. If you are, that's more power to you. It's just for me.
I'm sure there are, I think there are plenty of people who do use weed to manage their anxiety, and that's
which is fine.
Yeah.
But that's not also uncommon that people say I get more anxious if
I do I think it goes one way or the other.
Right. And
people fall into one, two categories.
I think that alcohol, and this is me being not a doctor, not a therapist, not a psychologist, from what I've understood, alcohol is a depressant. So I'm not sure alcohol is probably the best thing to medicate yourself when it comes to anxieties compared to weed? Like, if I were to choose one or the other, I'm obviously going to go the marijuana route. I'm not going to use alcohol to...
I don't know about that.
Unless it's a social gathering kind of thing.
No, I'm saying, I even think, I mean, this could be a whole nother topic about how we feel about, you know, substances and stuff like that. We could do a whole episode probably, but I think I'm just more comfortable with using alcohol. It doesn't give me anxiety. Like, I don't feel like I'm doing something wrong. No,
I'm saying if you have a sort of anxiety attack, if you were to go to one of the two, I'd probably go to the weed before I need to drink something.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like the, even though we're talking about how weed can make you feel more anxious, I've admittedly never done it when I was anxious to start.
Right, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your mindset going into it makes a difference.
Yes.
Yeah. But I also don't see, like, I have, especially during the pandemic, it was not uncommon for me to drink wine.
Oh yeah, whatever.
Like, every night even. But it was, like, not excessive. Like, I wasn't getting drunk every
night.
That's
what I mean, yeah.
But I think having a glass of wine with dinner or to unwind at the end of a long day is not, you know, is... I don't want to say that's a good treatment for anxiety, but I'm saying for me, it could really help me just to, like, relax and turn my brain off and have that thing to look kind of look forward to at the end of the day, just like downtime.
Yeah.
I struggle with how to describe this, like, drinking as like a healthy coping mechanism sounds weird, but you know what I mean? It wasn't excessive, but anyway.
We digress. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and therapy, I feel like it's finally becoming something that is less stigmatized. I think people are much more open about the fact that they're in therapy. I feel like something you said earlier is true, that pretty much everybody experiences anxiety to some extent, or, you know, has depressive moods, like even if you don't have diagnosed depression. I mean, everybody goes through shit. Like, everybody has hard times. Everybody has things in their life that bother them, complicated family situations, tension in your relationship, struggles as a parent, anything and everything. Everybody experiences some kind of trauma at some point. And
I don't know about that, but I see what you're saying. Well, maybe trauma's a strong word.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know that I've experienced trauma.
I mean,
I've experienced some hardships. I don't know that I've experienced trauma.
Maybe grief.
Sure.
I'm kind of using that interchangeably. Like, you lose people you love. Like,
sure.
Things, you know, even like going through a divorce or something. I guess maybe that's not trauma, but many people do. Like, I think of some of the things.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like, I've had a very good life. I wouldn't say I've had a traumatic life by any means, but I feel like the harassment situation that I described was a form of trauma. That was a pretty traumatic experience, and going through a miscarriage was a trauma, and those types of things are pretty common,
right?
So that's why I'm connecting the dots to say that people go through a lot of shit, and there's no shame in going to therapy, even if it's just to, even if you don't have, like, you don't need to have a diagnosed
mental health
disorder,
right,
to have someone to talk to who helps you talk through and sort through your thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even some of the things that I've talked to my therapist about that have nothing to do with my anxiety or, well, I guess it's a little bit connected, like thinking about a situation that I need to approach, you know, with a family member or even something at work. And I'm like, I don't really want to deal with this. It's uncomfortable. It's confrontation. And I feel like a lot of people have been dealing with this stuff with, when it comes to the political tension that we referenced earlier or the pandemic and people's different feelings about things and how to approach someone in your family who maybe doesn't see eye to eye with you about how you've handled the pandemic and or a family member who doesn't want to get vaccinated or whatever, like, those things have become so common this past year that it's almost like a rehearsal just to talk to someone and say, well, I'm thinking of approaching them this way at this time. This is probably the best way to go. And just like bouncing that off the person. I mean, not to say you don't have friends or family or whatever who you could talk about these things with, but This is a completely unbiased third party who can just help you sort through your thoughts. So I find value in it even in times when I'm feeling pretty good from an anxiety standpoint. You know, it's just there's always something that I could use a little assist with.
I mean, it's and again, I don't mean this in any sort of disrespect, but like therapeutic measures and therapists, business must be good because of the pandemic. And I'm not
my therapist is always super booked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean this lightly. It's a good maybe I do. It's a good thing people are interested in that because it's a good time to have one, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
you picked the right career path
profession therapist. For this yes. time. Yeah, I agree. I think it's good that you know, people aren't being shy about seeking help because this year has been a shit show and it's really hard. And a lot of people are having some really serious trouble, you know, having dealt with the social isolation of the pandemic and everything. And now moving back into society, any sort of social, I think I talked about this, how like I have a new perspective on how, you know, pre-pandemic, anyone who experienced social anxiety just because like just in general, and like now I'm starting to get a sense of what that's like re-entering social situations after the pandemic. It's kind of crazy. So
what else we got?
The last one was, so that's pretty much all of the answers we got were about meds and therapy. There's really quick about meds, and I've never been taken medication for anxiety, but no shame. I know there are a lot out there who are very that are very effective. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, no shame, no stigma. The last one was unique to one of our listeners who I know is a stay-at-home mom, and she referenced a method, a technique that I've heard other people reference before too, that she said is especially helpful when she's home with the kids and like basically about to lose her shit. She called it the 5-4-3-2-1 method.
Okay.
And she can correct us if we're wrong, and we can share her description of it anonymously if she wants to give a little bit more detail. But I think that that's literally just like stopping and pausing and counting down
from five
with
not
breathing.
That there's anything wrong with that. It's just, so I usually it's 10.
I agree. Yes. But I think maybe when you have kids running around, you have a lot of time.
You got to pick your moments.
Maybe you're, a halftime version. But I did the, countdown from 10 with the breathing techniques was one of the first things that my first therapist did with me, especially since my anxiety triggered my asthma.
Yeah.
The breathing techniques have always been something that I've had to try to use just to keep my lungs in check. So that's what I think the 5-4-3-2-1 method is.
It's like monster meditation.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know what monster meditation is, check it out from Sesame Street. We've taught that to our daughter as a better way to cope than screaming or hitting or, you know, things like that. No, because we have, she doesn't hit people. She hits things.
Yes.
But yeah. Our listener who said 5-4-3-2-1, let us know if it's something different, if we've gotten it wrong, or if there's more specific instructions on how to use it. Sure. I'm sure there are people who would benefit from those types of simple things that, like, when you're in a tough moment and you just need a second, take a few deep breaths. I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, I don't, and maybe this is my own fault, calling back to the episode I had last week, I didn't know how to navigate out of that. And maybe this is not good, but you know, eating made a huge difference last week when we ended up going to Iggy's for our Rhode Island folk. Uh-huh. And the clam cakes and stuff that we got, that really
comfort food.
I think that has a lot to do
and
with
the
it
was a beautiful day. We went out in the fresh air.
Yes, outside.
We flew kites.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, those types of things I think help. I think finding ways to address it, whether it be counting or, you know, having your own little moment, for me, and we've talked about this, it's not just about having goals and exercising. It's just that provides for me, especially first thing in the morning, a sense of clarity and a sense of, okay, I'm good. I'm settled. Mm-hmm. I'm settled in today. It's like sitting in a chair. Okay. And yeah. If I don't do it, my entire day is thrown off. And maybe that's what makes me anxious. So finding these types of things, I'm working on that too, because it did become an obsession working out all the time. And then finding out that working out every day is actually not good for you. Right. And, you know, eating certain food groups or omitting them is actually not good for you. Until something else comes out in a couple of years and whatever. But, you know,
but finding balance is important.
Yes. Yeah. And allowing myself on the weekends, or especially Sunday, just to eat whatever the fuck you want and don't work out.
Right. Because food isn't just for nutrion. I mean, it is, but there are
some things you shouldn't have all the time.
I never said all the time. I'm saying on occasion, like, for example, you said the Iggy's thing. Yes. Like, that's tied. Yes. That's a memory. It's a feeling. Like,
but I shouldn't have Iggy's once a week.
Of course not. But I'm saying for us, it's something we want to do at least once every summer. Yes. Like, it's a tradition. Yes. It's something that...
It's Rhode Island. Right. You have to do it.
But it's meaningful to you. It has value to you aside from... the nutrients or the lack thereof. Yes, that it's putting in your body.
I want my daughter to experience Rhode Island food.
Yeah. And it's a fun family memory. It's nostalgic. Yeah.
When she grows up, she can say, my dad and mom took us to Iggy's all the time.
Right. My point is that food is more than just fuel. Like, it can be.
If Monday through Friday, it's fuel.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying food is memories and nostalgia and, you know, meaningful experiences and things like that.
I get it. But, you know, with exercising, I think it can go one of two ways. I'm trying to find the balance right now of making that my relief from anxiety. And by and large, that's how it's been for the past, I don't know, decade. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to doing it all the time, there was times I was doing two a days.
Yeah.
And it was getting insane.
Well, it would cause you more anxiety if you missed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it does still. Like, it, you know, for me, if, and this hardly ever happens, but if I oversleep, my day is fucking ruined. It's ruined. And I have to find a time to fit it in.
Yeah. You know, you want to know my theory about that is?
Okay.
My super unprofessional, uneducated opinion, sure. Is that's your way of, like, that's your thing in your life. That, well, the exercise and the food are things that you have complete control over, especially
no, I don't.
Well,
I don't have control of the outcome and the results.
No, but you have the control. Like, the reason why I think you enjoy your routine so much all that is because it gives you a sense of control, and like, you know what's going to happen, you know to expect it every day, you know how you're going to feel. And same thing with your having your food prepped and being pretty exact about, like,
it's more of a longevity thing.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying this is the only reason, but I'm saying, especially in the last few years, like, things have been sort of crazy.
Yeah.
Between the pandemic and us starting a family and some other, you know, the family things that you've gone through. I think that it sort of grounds you in that sense. Like, it gives you something that you are in control over. And
I just like doing it.
Well, that too. But I think it's good that you found something that is good for you. Like you said, with certain caveats around balance and you know, enjoying your life.
Yeah, I just like the way it makes me feel.
Yeah.
That's
it's,
all.
I think it's a, that's it to me. As long as it's not taking away from other things in your life, that's
why I wake up at 4.
I know.
So it's can't.
A healthy manifestation of, or healthy way for you to cope with your anxiety.
It's the fitness palace of love.
I know.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I did just want to say, I think someone else did say exercise and I forgot it. So you're not alone in that.
No, I just think it helps. I think it offers clarity. I think it offers...
Oh, I know who said it. I completely left out all her stuff. Sarah.
Oh.
She sent us a whole list of things, and I forgot to write them down with the other results.
Well, fuck. Look it up right now.
She sent us, so exercise was one of them. I know she sent us.
How are you going to disrespect?
We said we were going to keep it anonymous, and now I'm calling her out about all
you're
her things.
You're disrespecting
your other. I know, I'm
other.
Sorry. My West Coast twin. Yeah, so she also mentioned caffeine.
Yeah.
It makes her anxiety worse. It's probably those $7 lattes over in San Diego.
If you're having Dunkin', you're having none of that.
Yeah, you're coffee grind water.
Bean
water, that's it. Yeah, so she also talked about going for a run, working out, fresh air.
Fresh air is key.
Yeah, walking outside is a big one for me too. Music, distraction. One thing that her and I were talking about, I completely agree with this, is like sort of what I said in the beginning, just being able to identify it, whatever your feeling is, if it's anxiety, being able to acknowledge it. And for me, it was naming it. But being able to say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. It's okay to feel this way. But now I need to either just feel that feeling and move on from it, or know that it's something that needs to be addressed and have a technique or a strategy to address it, and then move on. Like, just not beating around the bush, not like pretending it's not there, just kind of facing it head on and not being, not being afraid of that is helpful.
Don't avoid it.
Yep.
I apologize.
Sorry, Sarah.
I apologize to our West Coast queen for my wife. Trying to take away your thunder.
It's baby brain. We'll just blame it on that.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you hanging on. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to the show if you haven't already. We're on all your favorite podcatchers. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I don't think anybody uses that anymore anyway, but we're on Spotify. The month of June has been, even with the 2-week hiatus we had, we've had quite a bit of listenership, which we appreciate. People from the US, Canada, Australia, Bulgaria, the UK, Mexico, New Zealand, and the Philippines have listened. So we appreciate you guys checking us out, specifically within our homeland of the US, Rhode Island, Arizona, Massachusetts, California, Connecticut, New York, Illinois, Nevada, New Jersey, Delaware, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, New Hampshire, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming. We appreciate you guys giving us the opportunity to fill your ear holes with nonsense. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week is this coming week is Canada Day. So happy Canada Day. I know that's a touchy subject right now because of all the shit that went down. I don't know if you know about this. In Canada, they just discovered 751 unmarked graves hidden by the Catholic Church from the natives of Canada. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and there are calls to cancel Canada Day. So,
wow.
I can't really speak much on that because I'm not. I should do more research, but innocently, I'm saying happy Canada Day just for someone that enjoys Blue Jays baseball. That's all.
And poutine.
I mean, no disrespect to the lives that were completely and utterly disrespected by that. But also, this weekend is Independence Day. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot of fireworks. Hopefully,
there already are. Yeah. What the hell?
Hopefully, you don't have a dog that freaks out or a kid that won't sleep. Because they're not going to sleep even more.
Yep.
But anyways, we just want to, have a safe holiday week or weekend, whatever you're celebrating, and be safe. That's the main thing. If you want to get in touch with us, you can.
We're on Facebook at facebook.com/whileshesnapping, on Instagram at whileshesnapping, on Twitter at shesnappingpod, or you can email us at whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
All right. No idea what we're going to talk about next week. It's always a fun mystery.
Yeah.
That we'll keep.
Yep.
Maybe we can talk about. Nah, we'll see. All right. See you guys. Peace.